Come out of the world, oh my people.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instructions of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show with your host, Paul Nisan.
Hello, everybody. This is Paul Nisan with Torah Life Ministries, and we are doing our Suffer Well devotional from our Suffer Well devotional series. And before we get started, I just want to explain to people the importance of Scripture. And the idea that we need to get to grasp is what the people went through in Scripture is not just a thought. These are literal physical things people went through, and only two would go through those type of things. Do we really start to take it seriously? Let's use Paul for an example. The Apostle Paul was somebody who was persecuted so much, but what he did with his great desire and faith was to go to the leader in Rome and preach the gospel. And we hear that and we think about Rome, some vacation destination or something else, and we don't realize the significance of what Paul was trying to do because we're not putting ourselves in biblical times. Rome at that time was like somebody today saying, my desire is to go to the leader of ISIS and proclaiming the gospel. This was a passion that Yahweh had him on, a path that Yahweh had him on, and he was going to do it no matter what. We think about the reality of Scriptures and what was going on, and then we have to put ourselves in another person's hands. We have to put ourselves in the hands of Moses, a wonderful man who was humble in all his ways. I am going to read the devotional today, and then we're going to get into this teaching about Moses. But before I get into this, I want to give you a verse, Isaiah 66:2. Isaiah 66:2 says, my hands have made both heaven and earth. They and everything in them are mine. I, Yahweh, have spoken. I will bless those who have humble and contrite hearts, who tremble at my word. We must understand the significance of his word. We must grasp the idea why people were willing to die to get this word in our hands. We must realize why there are some bloodstained Bibles out there and people are willing to get burnt at the stake so these words would not go to void. We must grasp that passion. Again, Isaiah 66:2. I will bless those who have humble and contrite hearts, who tremble at my word. Now let's get into today's devotional, the arm of flesh, and we could see exactly how to get in the word and what this actually means. This is an important message that we must grasp. It says here, listen to me, my precious little one. I would like you to consider my servant Moses as an example of my absolute providence. I brought him up as a prince only to have his crown stripped from him. He would be a shepherd at the age of 80, an alien in a foreign land, as it says in Exodus 2:22. It was then that I called him to his true purpose, his created purpose. After 40 years in exile, my plan would begin, truly begin. Why did I strip him of his princely garb? Yes, he murdered, but I always knew he would. It's what caused the murder that had to be removed. The arm of flesh had to be removed. The desire to do anything other than what I purpose in his and likewise in your life. If you pretend that whatever you want to do must be my will, you will wander in the wilderness. To get out, you must stay close to me and you must stay connected. The byproduct of the removal of the arm of flesh is humility and meekness. Heaven, humility and meekness. From a murderer to a testimonial. What if they don't believe me or listen to me? What if they say Yahweh did not appear to you? This is from Exodus 4:1, where Moses asked these questions. Then Moses protested when Yahweh came to him. What if they don't listen to me? What if they don't say? What if they say, Yahweh never appeared to you? Please realize that the humility that I placed in Moses will also be placed in you. He would no longer be a man with murder in his heart, not ready, prepared for now ready, prepared for every good work. Moses, a different man, cries out, Oh Yahweh, please send someone else whose hand you may do it. Exodus 4:13. So we see here, he was no longer supremely confident in his own ability. He was now a servant ready to be used. It was at this point that my chosen vessel was truly ready. Wow. Wow. We continue with the devotional and says, Know this, my child, the talents you have are from me. Have my people noticed your abilities? The things that make you good at what you do? I will not waste those talents I placed in you. I will just make sure they are used for why I created you. If you are wandering in a foreign land right now, you might just rejoice. For it is here that I am the arm of flesh, that it will be taken away. For it is here that the arm of flesh will be taken away and your new life brought to you. You do not need to wait 40 years, however. Submit to me now and enter your destiny, my child. It is your precious predestined purpose. Your predestined purpose. Now, when I hear this about Moses and I hear everything that he's asking us to do, it comes down to one thing, the beginning thing, opening the gate where it begins. And that begins with humility. Humility, humility, humility. We need to understand what the word is talking about, humility. But we also need to put ourselves in those situations in biblical times. Just like Paul, who had all this earthly knowledge, but he was willing to put his life on the line to get the message out about Yeshua. And Yeshua put his life on the line literally for us, so the message can come to us. And all these people that died so the scriptures could be in our hands today did the same thing. They had to humble themselves, lower themselves, to deny their own life and their own flesh so we would see the glory today. And we are called to do that as well. Let's look at another example in scripture. Let's look at Daniel. In my opinion, Daniel is probably the most humble and most forgiving and most closest man to Yahweh in all of scriptures. And we see this in Daniel 10:12. Yahweh says, Then he said, Don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you begin to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven. I have come to answer your prayer. You know, when Daniel went to go and pray every single day at the appropriate times in the appropriate direction, what was he praying for? How many of you have ever asked that question? Every single day in a foreign land, just like Moses was in a foreign land, he had his position and everything. At that point, he could have forgot about Yahweh. You know, he was pretty well set, but he didn't forget about Yahweh. Every single day, even though in high esteem he was held, every single day, even though he was castrated, he did not show anger and ignore Yahweh. Every single day, he came before Yahweh at the appropriate time in the appropriate matter, and he prayed. And when you wonder what he prayed, how he prayed, and what he was praying for, it's answered right here in 10:12 of Daniel. Daniel said, Yahweh said, since the first day you begin to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before Yahweh, your request has been heard. How many of you pray for understanding and to be humbled? Wow. What an amazing situation here. Numbers 12:3 says Moses was very humble, more humble than any other person on earth. He wasn't always like that. He wasn't always like that. And Yahweh waited for him to be like that so he could do the work he did through him. What does the scriptures say that Yahweh is waiting to do? He's waiting to rescue us. Many are called, but few are chosen. He's waiting for us. What is he waiting for? 2 Samuel 22:8 echoes a theme that's all throughout the scriptures. You rescue the humble, but your eyes watch the proud and humiliate them. You rescue the humble. All over scripture, it talks about rescuing the humble. There's many scriptures in the Renewed Covenant that will quote this right here about rescuing the humble. I'll give you one from Psalms in the original covenant. It says, Psalms 18:27, you rescue the humble, but you humiliate the proud. This is a theme throughout all scripture. We go and we look at the Psalms and the Proverbs about this, and it all talks about him and coming close to the humble. And we have David singing about humility. And it's just all over scripture. We see these ideas. Psalm 69:32, the humble will see Yahweh at work and be glad. Let all who seek Yahweh's help be encouraged. So beautiful, so beautiful. That's what he's calling us to do, to humble ourselves. We are to mimic Yeshua, the most humble man of all scripture. We are to follow him in his ways. It's not just about being like the Pharisees and sages, that they were able to keep the guidelines and instructions of our Creator and do it with pride. No, you do it with humility. That was the difference. That was the difference when he said, you must be more righteous than that of the Pharisees. Your attitude, not just your action. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. That goes right along with Ezekiel 33:11 that says, I take no pleasure in the death of wicked people. I only want them to change from their wicked ways so they will live. It's the call of Yahweh. He's waiting for us to do this. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. To turn means to repent. Repentance brings refreshing. Then he will hear heaven and will forgive us in our sins. Remember that. Remember that. Isaiah says, Isaiah 29:19 says, the humble will be filled with fresh joy from Yahweh. The humble will be filled with fresh joy from Yahweh. How many of you have that joy today? How many of you have humbled yourself so much that you walk around in joy knowing it's all about Yahweh? He's taking that arm of flesh away from you, and he's giving you that heart of humility. So, so powerful. Matthew 5:5 says, Yahweh blesses those that are humble, for they will inherit the earth. He blesses those that are humble. Philippians 2:3 reads, don't be selfish and try to impress others, but be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. This is the call, and it's throughout all scripture. This is what he wants us to do, to humble ourselves. That is the attitude of Yeshua, to humble ourselves. I talk about this all the time. I talk about it all the time, not opening up any opening for the enemy to get in and destroy us. Not opening up anything. And the enemy is looking for a way. Yahweh knows our thoughts, but the enemy only knows our actions. He hears our words, and he's waiting for us to do something. He's waiting for that pride to slip in. But Yahweh says, be humble. Be humble. James 4:7 says, so humble yourselves before Yahweh. Resist the enemy, and he will flee from you. How do you resist him? Humility. Humility. That's how you do it. Taking on the attitude of Yeshua. We look at this example in the attitude of Yeshua. In Matthew 9:9, as Yeshua was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting in his tax collector's booth. Follow me and be my disciple, Yeshua said to him. Do you understand how hated tax collectors were in those days? These were the lowest of the lowest of the low. And Yeshua says, follow me. And what did Matthew do? He got up and he followed him. He got up and he followed him. Later, Matthew invited Yeshua to and his disciple to his home to have dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other sinners. And when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with such scum? When Yeshua heard this, he said, healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. And he told those who knew the Torah but didn't have the heart. They knew scripture. They knew the Torah, the commandments, but they didn't have the attitude. Yeshua, our Messiah, turned them away. He said, go away and learn. Go away and learn. Go away and learn. And what did he want them to learn? And I tell you this to all those people out there that you think you know the scriptures so well and you're keeping the commandments so well. Go away and learn. Go away and learn. What did he want them to learn? He says, I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. You humble yourself and understand your place. Understand. Matthew 9:14 says, for I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners, those who are humble. That's when he will turn it around and take away your heart, your arm of flesh, and give you a heart, a circumcised heart. We need to come to him. We need to come to him. And remember the scripture, what it says in Hosea 6:6. Hosea 6:6 says, I want you to show love and not offer sacrifices. I want you to know me more than I want your burnt offerings. The answer comes down to this. The answer comes down to Micah 6:8. Micah 6:8 says, know, O people, O Yahweh has told you what is good and what is he requires of you. And this is what it comes down to, everyone watching right now. This is the key to everything. And it's quoted here in Micah 6:8. It says, do what is right, love mercy, and walk humbly with your creator. Three things. Do what is right, which is the Torah, the guidelines and instructions, is living the right way. And the other one is to love mercy, to understand mercy. Forgive others so he can forgive us. That's the prayer, right? And then finally, to walk humbly. He calls us to walk humbly. That's what he calls us to do. Love mercy and walk humbly. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. To seek and save those who are lost. He came for us. He wants us to humble ourselves and understand. 1 Timothy 1:15 to 16, we see Paul humbling himself so much, saying, this is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Yeshua Messiah came to this world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all. But Yahweh had mercy on me, so Yeshua Messiah could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. When you have the Apostle Paul, Shaul, calling himself the worst of the worst sinners and running to Yeshua, that's humility. That's humility. And this is what he calls us to do and how he calls us to be. To humble ourselves. How many of you today are ready to humble yourselves? How many of you today are ready to do this? Our attitude should be like Yeshua's. Romans 8:29 says, we should be conformed to the image of Yeshua Messiah. Conformed to the image of Yeshua Messiah. Philippians 2:5 says you must have the same attitude of Yeshua. Get rid of the pride and kill that flesh of the pride and stop opening in that door of the enemy and start humbling yourselves. Start humbling yourselves. Because without that type of attitude, without that type, we're not going to get it. Remember the story of the man that was forgiven his debt and then he went to go collect a debt from somebody else? We've been given a gift through Yeshua, his mercy, his patience, every single day. Yeshua was humbled enough to die for us. Are we willing and able and put ourselves in a position to share his message with others and be like those that died so we could have his word in our hands, to humble ourselves, to humble our position, and to realize what he's done for us? 1 Peter 3:8 says, finally, all of you should be of one mind. Sympathize with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tender-hearted and keep a humble heart. You understand when this was written about the persecution that was going on and what was called? You should be of one mind, sympathize with each other, love each other as brothers and sisters, be tender-hearted, and keep a humble heart. Humility. Humility. That's what he's calling us to. Humility. Philippians 2, 6, and 8 says, who being in the very nature of Yahweh did not consider being equal with Yahweh, something to be used in his own advantage, but rather he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in a human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the stake he was willing to do. 2 Corinthians 8, 9 says, for you know the grace of Yahweh, our wonderful Messiah Yeshua, that though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty you became rich. And then Romans 15, 3 says, for even Yeshua did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. Humility. Where is your humility? Humble yourselves to imitate him. James 4, 10 says, humble yourselves before Yahweh, and he will lift you up in honor. Philippians 2, 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Yeshua Messiah. Humble yourself. We have a choice, because if we don't do it, Yahweh's going to do it. That's what he did with Moses. He humbled him. Deuteronomy 8, 2 and 3 says, remember how Yahweh, your Elohim, led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of Yahweh. Every single word that Moses wrote down was for us. Was for us. We must get this and understand this. Without humility, you will not be able to confess your sins. You will lie to yourself and say you're not a sinner, that Yahweh is okay with you. You must humble yourselves and understand who you truly are and what Yahweh has truly done for you. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn to their wicked ways. And then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. We must humble yourself. The easiest way is to do it to humble yourself. The hard way is to have Yahweh do it for you. Matthew 23, 10 to 12 says, and do not be called masters either, because you have one master in the Messiah, the greatest among you who will be your servant. Who exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Yahweh is against the pride of the people, and the enemy tries to use that and destroy us. The only thing that's going to destroy pride is humility. James 4, 6 says, but he gives us more grace. That is why the scriptures say, Yahweh opposed the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Proverbs, which is wisdom, 3:34 says, he mocks the proud mockers, but shows favor to the humble and the oppressed. You must understand who we are and who he is and what he does for us. We must get it. We all fall short. We're all dirty, filthy rags. But through his grace and redemption came Yeshua, his Messiah, who humbled himself. for us. See, when we realize that, we understand humility is what's going to lead us to Yahweh and keep us to follow his ways. Jeremiah 10:23 says, I know, Yahweh, that the way of man is not in himself, that it is not in man who walks in his direct steps. James 1:22 says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. But we see the trap of the Pharisees and their pride and everything else. John 1:8 says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Humility shows us to care for others, not only to be humble before Yahweh, but we are humble before others. Humility, humility, humility. 1 Peter 5:5 says, in the same way you are hungry, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because Yahweh opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Philippians 2:3-4, again, do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of a mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of the others. Moses was living in a kingdom. He didn't have to step down and try to save the people. Daniel had a fine life. He didn't have to be praying to Yahweh to humble him. We must understand it's not about what we have or what we accomplish. It's like who we want to be in Yahweh. Humility is what brings wisdom and honor. When pride comes, there comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom, Proverbs 11:2. But humility and fear of Yahweh are riches and honor and life, Proverbs 22:4. That is where we must be. The longer it takes to humble yourself, the harder your heart becomes. Exodus 10:3, so Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said to him, this is what Yahweh said. The God of the Hebrews says, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go so they might go. We have to figure this out and we have to get this. We have to get this. We have to realize this. Humility stops us from thinking it's because I'm so good. It's because I obey Yahweh and because I'm better than everyone else. No. Deuteronomy 9:4 says, after Yahweh your Elohim has driven him out from before you, do not say to yourself, Yahweh has brought me here to take possession of the land because of my righteousness. No. It is on account of the wickedness of these nations that Yahweh is going to drive them out before you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have a blessed day, everybody. Until then, have a great day and shalom, shalom.
Come out of the world. You have been listening to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Nisan. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to Torah Life Ministries, P.O. Box 16156, West Palm Beach, Florida 33411. And thank you for your prayers and generous support. Torah Life Ministry.
Say goodbye to yesterday. Nothing standing in my way. There was a guarantee, but in my heart.